Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Now, welcome, Barbara. I've got Barbara Clifford with me to join in with this podcast. And I know that all of us are always pushed for time. So Barbara's business is the Time Tamer. She's actually a productivity and time management expert and based in Brisbane in Australia. Now, Barbara has spent over 20 years working in time-precious industries such as film, hospitality, and marketing. I think most of us can relate to being time-precious. She's always had the burning passion to create order out of chaos. It'll be really interesting because I know some people listening will go, oh, I've got that. That's exactly what. And others will be going, please tell me how. So this is going to be great information. And she loves seeking knowledge around systems and processes and gadgets and apps and stationery for whatever will organise the working world. So you sort of have a conniption when you go into office works, is that?
Oh, yes. And smiggle. Yeah.
Barbara is sought after like a beacon in the sea of chaos to provide professional clarity in the business environment and to simply get things organised. Oh, interesting. From gay bars in Melbourne to remote Aboriginal communities in Central Australia. For not-for-profits to alternatives in aged care, Barbara has a diverse career with rich, dynamic experiences. That certainly brings a range of experiences into this, yeah. Barbara, so I'm sure we're all going to be interested in hearing how that fits in with your productivity and time management business. And Barbara is currently studying a Cert 4 in stress management practitioner. So we need to be able to manage our stress. So, Barbara, your why, I ask all of the people this, what has brought you into being, you know, so interested in managing time and working with, particularly with, I know most of your clients, again, are entrepreneurial business women. So tell us your story.
So for me, I started my career when I was 14 in the film and television industry, and I was very involved in the arts and passionate about film and television and the arts. And for me, where that came from was wanting to make a difference in people's lives, wanting to empower them, wanted to shift the way that they think about things. So I'm passionate and a creative person. So it was always pursuing that to make a difference in people's lives. And it wasn't until much later in life that I really thought about what is intrinsic about me, what makes me different to everybody else. And while I love the arts and I'm passionate about film and television and theatre and fine arts, I was surprised to discover, really passionate about organising, about creating order out of chaos and making sense of things. And film is actually very much about that, is creating meaning out of things that sometimes aren't that meaningful and creating purpose. So it really is about encouraging people to change the way they think about things and changing the way that they look at things and their perspective on their environment. And it's also about the culture as well of the environment we work in.
So I can see that the time management, obviously once you've got that happening, you're starting to reduce stress. So I'm starting to see where that ties in with your CERT course as well and your future training.
Yeah, well, it's all part and parcel. Sometimes you're stressed without realising why. And it really boils down to a state of organisation. I mean, that's ultimately what it's all about. So we can make decisions in our life when we have organised information. We feel stressed when there's not the order and around a decision or the thinking. So stress is unorganised thinking, really.
Interesting definition. I hadn't heard that, but that certainly seems to make a lot of sense from one organised person to another. I mean, they're going to get bombarded for this next hour because It's something that we're both quite passionate about, yeah. And you have got so many systems and setups that I know that are just going to be able to offer so much information. And obviously, it's not just about in business, is it?
No, but that's the reality because, you know what it's like in life. You can't possibly go through your working day not thinking about what you need to do in your personal life. And it's very difficult when you get home at the end of the day to not be thinking about what you need to do in your working day the next day. And I know lots of people listening to this will go, oh my God, that it's me. When you're in the shower and you go, oh my God, I've got a great idea for that marketing campaign, or I've got a great idea on how to solve that problem, or it's in the car. That's a really common one for people where they're saying, I come up with great ideas in the car. How do I record that? How do I keep track of that? And then there's also right before you go to sleep. You always think of something right before you go to sleep. So you can see that work life does impose upon personal life, and personal life imposes upon work life. Yeah, everybody has business hours, and we need to contact the bank or the real estate agent or the school during working hours, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And especially, you know, those of us that have full-time jobs and the families to work around, or just other people to work around, that we need to, you know, keep all those balls juggling in the air and making sure that everything stays in the air as well and nothing collapses and we stay a healthy self.
Well, I think for entrepreneurs, what's really, really important is that you obviously have your personal life that you have to manage, I guess, in terms of the tasks, activities and responsibilities. You've got your business that's operating, but you have to also consider the business growth. So that's about having things got rolling along while you also think bigger and grow bigger. So you have to have process and system in place to be able to keep moving forward, to keep your business growing. Mm. So it is about juggling all those balls and not becoming sedentary.
Mm. There's a quote that I heard, and I'm just trying to think of the person who delivered it, but if you're not growing, you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of that, isn't it? If you're not moving forward continually, well, then you're dying. You need to be on that future movement so that you're creating something. So, and having processes is obviously going to make that a lot simpler.
That's right. And it doesn't matter what business you are in. Anyone that is in business has to be thinking, and what next? Because if you're really good at what you do and you have a unique offering or a unique product, your competitor is going to be doing exactly the same thing very soon. So you always have to be a step ahead, because every product and every service has a life cycle because of the way productivity evolves. It doesn't matter what it is that you do. Even what we do is going to change and evolve, just like for you in terms of public speaking, that changes because of the environment that people are speaking in. We're now sitting in front of a microphone doing podcasts. Would we have been doing that 20 years ago? You know, that it's technology's changed, the environment's changed, so we have to adapt our product and service and be able to juggle things to be able to do that.
Yep. Very, very good point, continually growing. So what does make a person productive?
It's a really, really good question. What's the difference between being unproductive and being productive? And there's real telltale signs about personal productivity, but also a team productivity. And it's stress for the individual is the obvious one. When we personally feel a level of stress, like what we were saying in the beginning, that's a state of decreased productivity. When our brain becomes tired, when we feel ourselves becoming distracted, they're obviously telltale signs of a lack of personal productivity. But when you're in a team, or even for yourself, when there's conflict, when you start to get irritated with your client, your business partner, the people that you're working with, even your spouse, that says that we're not working efficiently, we're not being productive. So they're telltale signs of a lack of productivity. And then there's the space as well. and people forget about that. So if you've got clutter on your desk, if you can't find things and people go, oh, that's me. I say to people, how long does it take you to find a pair of scissors? That can be a sign of whether or not your space is organized. And what does that do to your thinking power if you've got so much distraction around you? If you go looking for something and you get distracted by something else, that eats away at your brain energy. So it's all of those things. There's a number of different telltale signs of what signifies productivity and not being productive. And it's about being mindful. It's about having clarity. It's about having that thinking space in your physical space, but in your mental space as well, to stop and take stock of what's actually happening. And that's really, really important to know what the end game is. And we lose sight of that sometimes and just live with the unproductive way that we work because we're used to it and we're creatures of habit.
You mean we don't step out of our comfort zone and we just do things the same way? Is that what you're saying? I find that so hard to believe.
Oh, well, that comes back to what I was saying at the very beginning. The challenge for me and what I enjoy is allowing people to really change the way they think about things and to look at things from different perspectives. So if you are stressed, you are overwhelmed, if you're not on top of things, if things are falling through the gap, it's that saying, unless you change what you're doing, then things will always be the way they always have. You have to change the way you think about things and deal with things to get a difference in your life.
And that's Einstein's quote, isn't it? What a definition of stupidity is to continue to do the same things the same way and expecting a different result. I've got to make a comment. My husband sometimes works from home now, and today I walked in on him in my office with all his stuff out and you can hear by the tone of my voice that he just has stuff out everywhere and I have everything so organized and structured. So even me stepping into his space made me feel very uncomfortable and that clutter, you know, he's constantly looking for something. He's constantly lost something or he'll walk out without it, he'll forget it. And it's exactly what you're saying, that clutter not only affects him with his taking longer to do things, but it affected me. It affects me by stepping into that space. So I can imagine, you know, you see a lot of people's desks that are just full of disorganization, and you imagine how they're thinking that same sort of disorganized process as well.
It's the challenge is to be able to work with people. I'm a particular personality type. And I know this is something that you're personally passionate about, is those different personality styles and how important that is from a sales point of view or connecting to people when you're speaking. And the same applies in terms of productivity and exactly what you're talking about. You know how your husband works, and the challenge is to be able to work with his style of organization. And that's what I try and teach people in terms of productivity, is really understand the different styles, the personality styles, to be able to get the best out of people, but also to understand yourself. Where are your weaknesses? Where are you going to procrastinate? Where are your challenges? And if you can identify certain personality traits of other people that you work with, you know where they're going to waste time or where they're going to power through something, and how you can work collaboratively to be the most organized. So, for example, some people will be stackers. They like to keep things organized in buckets or containers. Some people are drop folders. Some people are lever arch. And it's about trying to work out how people conceptualize stuff, how they visualize things, how they order that information around them. And trying to – now, look, I'm no NLP expert either, but I know there's the whole kinetic audio touch site. For me, it's about trying to be a little bit intuitive about all of those elements. And if I had plenty of time, I'd study all of those areas, but I just do a little bit of a basic personality profiling with people, so that they're more intuitive about themselves and their environment. And again, it's about being that mindfulness.
And that's one of the points, isn't it? You know, when we're looking at best forms of time management, we wouldn't necessarily normally be thinking about how we work with others and, you know, understanding others. Normally that's something that when people say time management, you take it as a personal thing for your own process. But now we're looking at how it works with others as well.
So the irony is that for me to be more productive, I have to work with you to be productive. So I could waste time making you work the way I do and getting frustrated with that. And that's what I was talking about before in terms of that conflict. So if you've got the conflicts happening, that's a sign that there's not the productivity there. So if I can work with you and get the best out of you knowing how you work from a personality point of view, it's just going to speed things up, isn't it?
Mm.
So, and that's the thing, like we said before, it doesn't just exist in a silo. Your work and your personal life impact. So we work out how to do that with our partners and with our children to be able to work effectively and to get things done in a particular time frame or manner.
And getting things done. So how do you deal with procrastination? I know that I've worked with people on projects, and there was one person I worked with in particular. She drove all of us crazy. I got to know that she produced top results, really top results in the last 20 minutes. And other people would have had 6 weeks, and they're all relying on her to get information to them, and she couldn't get the information to them in their time frame, so that stressed them out big time. But I knew that she would produce things. So I became a bit of a mediator between both and you know, got things happening. So how do you stop that procrastination? And it really was just procrastination in her, because she knew that she could perform at the last moment and so put it off.
Well, there's two elements to that I would say, because you do have that intuitiveness yourself personally about personality styles, that's what I'm talking about, point in case, in terms of knowing how to get the best out of people. But it's also understanding values, the value system. John DeMartini's the expert in that. He's fantastic, and I'd encourage people to read some of his stuff and some of the tests that he does. But that's about identifying how we reward ourselves, or we're like a bowerbird. We're going to get distracted by something that we place value on, that's most important for us. And if you can identify that in other people, know that they will get distracted by certain things. That's generally why we procrastinate, because the definition of procrastination is doing something that gives us the greatest pleasure and the greatest reward over something that has less reward. So we're going to do things quickly and first when we enjoy it, when we have clarity, when we understand it, when it's easy, when it's organized. When we don't have clarity, when things aren't clear for us, then or we don't enjoy it, we put it off. Or if it causes stress, so if I don't really know what I have to do and there's a lot of questions around that, it's too hard, I'll do that later.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So for the colleague that you had that would put things off, perhaps she didn't have pleasure around it. Perhaps it wasn't challenging enough for it. Perhaps it was really easy.
The challenge was the getting it done in the 20 minutes for her in that particular case, but it doesn't help others, does it?
No, that's right.
Yeah.
But again, for them, it's about if they know that about her, then create the challenge for her. And I don't know what that might be, but that's part of how you would work with that person.
So that's a good definition of the procrastination and the things that we put off and just leave to that last minute. There's been a whole lot of studies done on the ability to do things people do at the last minute, because it's just the way most people operate, isn't it? You know, what something becomes a higher priority, and that's part of what you're doing with, if you've got everything managed so well, then the last minute things, if they are last minute, they just flow much easier because you're not looking for those pair of scissors.
Yeah, that's right. And it's about the brain energy. It's about, I believe that particularly in a work environment, our brain is our machine. It's the intellectual property. It's the skill set, the knowledge that we apply. So if it's exhausted, then we can't use it as the machine that it's designed to be. That's why we slow down. And a lot of research again has been done about shifting your brain energy from one thing to another. So answering a phone, answering an email, the misnomer of multitasking being a talent. It actually, we create We make our jobs as women harder for ourselves by multitasking. We actually take a lot longer to get something done by multitasking because our brain is switching on and off rather than...
Close your eyes, close your ears, ladies. Just, yeah. We don't want to hear that. Look, don't share that information with any men because you know where that's going to come back to. But, yeah, that's so true though, isn't it? It does. Yeah. And there's been a lot of studies done on exactly that.
Yeah. So, again, the people that do well at achieving things last minute, the reason they do that is because they have to stop and shut out everything else. So they are doing what we should all do is really dedicate a set chunk of time to a specific task and say nothing else in this moment is interfering. Mm. One of the interesting studies that I did around CEOs who have got to manage their time really, really efficiently, one in particular who was incredibly organized would set aside one day where he had no meetings, absolutely no meetings and no phone calls, and he would use that time to read, do all of his industry reading that he needed to do. So it would be the minutes from meetings, it would be industry papers, it would be all of the stuff he needed to stay on top of his position. But he set aside that brain power and that energy, nothing else.
And that is really powerful to be able to do that because most of us, when we're short of time, we skim things that could be really quite crucial and you know, hence why he's probably a CEO and able to be in that position because he's got a handle on what's going on within his industry because he's keeping up to date with it.
But it's also about not switching the brain on and off all the time. Mm. Another one that I heard of, and people will be familiar with this, it was a guy, I think he was heading up like Coca-Cola, and it was the red hat methodology. So he would say, everyone, open door policy. Everybody, it's an open door policy. My door's never closed. Come and talk to me. Problem with that is he could never lock down time to really concentrate on stuff because people would interrupt him. So he developed a signal system where when he had his red baseball cap on, don't interrupt him because he's really, really concentrating on something. But when the hat's off, it's okay to come in and ask a question. But the door was still always open. And that just having that door open created that sense of connection and communication. But that was a methodology he applied that really, really worked for his time management and productivity.
Yeah, certainly seems quite a valuable and it's a simple process as well. So lots of people feel they've actually got it together, but I know you've done a lot of training with people who thought they had it together. And how do you recognize that, or how do you get them to recognize that there's something they could be doing differently?
Well, I guess there's always room for improvement. As much as I love organizing, there's plenty of space where I can be disorganized, and I can be disorganized. So for me personally, there's always an opportunity to learn. And it's when I was acting, we used to say the actors that said, I'm at my best, I can't be any better, were the ones that would end up failing because they said, I've learned as much as I'm going to learn. And it's like what we were talking about in business before. You will fall behind. I'll give you a story. My dad's a farmer, and now in farming, as you can imagine, there's a whole range of support that farmers can have to improve the business side of farming. So the accounting systems on the computer, different technologies that can test the soil and, you know, there's a whole range of things you can imagine, isn't there, with technology. And that's related to a computer. Now, my dad's 67. There's a lot of people in his age group that are totally all over computing and social media and all of that. But my father set a line in the sand a long time ago and said, no, I'm too old for that. I'm not going to embrace it. So his business from that point of view became stunted because of his I know all I need to know. And he says to me, oh, you know, that face tube thing, I don't want a part of it, da 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 da. But he also misses out on the chatter in that environment around, you know, the litigations around the genetically modified stuff that's been happening, all of that sort of stuff he misses out on.
It's so, because the mind's closed off to that level improvement.
That's right. So if I say to people, if you are already organized, great. but there's always an opportunity to learn something else. And there's also a way in terms of communicating what you know to other people that aren't organized. So you and I might be organized and get frustrated with people who aren't organized, and it's about teaching them methodology that's going to work for them.
And look, I know from our conversations you're so over all of the media type of modalities to get organized, whereas I try. But I know there's so many other processes that would make my life easier and quicker if I just took the time to learn them. And that's something that we often don't do as well. And that's the importance with with the type of coaching that you do, is taking the time out to go, this is going to save me time down the track and save me money and effort and stress. So to take the time out and make the commitment to invest and to learn something new and a new way of doing something.
Well, I guess the other thing is that this is what I'm passionate about. So I fast-track the learning for you. You could go and spend 5 hours learning Evernote, or I could just come in and show you in an hour and a half.
And I know which I prefer. Thank you very much.
So it's, this is another element to what I talk about in terms of productivity. It's really important for business people to understand this, is how much are you worth an hour? So, for example, let's say I hated bookkeeping, and but I'm going to save money by me doing bookkeeping. Okay, so I spend 6 hours doing bookkeeping because I hate it. I'm not very good at it. What is that costing my business, spending that 6 hours, when I could pay somebody else who loves it and can knock it off in half an hour? You know, I'm decreasing my value as a consultant or as a business person by trying to do it myself. And the more that you can delegate things, and there's lots of ways. People go, I can't afford it. I can't afford to contract people. There's now, a lot of people don't like it when I say it, but there's Elance, there's, the sort of online stuff, Airtasker, and these, again, things that I talk about in my training, where you can access things really, really cheaply and get a lot more work done rather than doing it yourself.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is we all have our strengths. And my ebook, the free download that I have, it's the 5 barriers to success for entrepreneurial women. That covers one of those in particular, is that working in isolation. We feel that we have to be able to cope with everything across our business, and we feel that we either can't afford it or shouldn't ask for the help, and we tend to work in that isolation as opposed to going, exactly like you're saying, because I'm not a bookkeeping fan either. Get somebody else to do it, that expertise. It's the same as for me building a website. That's not my expertise, and to be able to get somebody else to do it well and, invest in that, that's going to create the business down the track. And I can, like as you said, you can focus on something that you're good at and is builds your business, as opposed to wasting the time in it.
And you will, if you don't do that and don't get in the habit of doing that, you'll hit the ceiling.
Mm.
And it depends. I have, I'm sure lots of your listeners, in terms of the people you create business with, have a big, bold vision. It's greater than me. I want an empire for myself. I would love that. So it's not going to be always me delivering this information. So I have to be able to step out of the driver's seat and keep taking a step backwards. And the more I'm in control of things, the less I'm going to be able to grow. I have to be able to systemize what I do and delegate to people.
Mm. And going on to that, so how do we, for people that do have that disorganization, how do they combat stress? I know that's something that you're passionate about, not just being organized, but overcoming the stress about disorganization.
Interestingly, what research has shown about stress is it's about how we feel about stress. So stress can actually be really, really healthy for us. When we are in we will be in a stress state, normally in the fight or flight environment. But there are some environments where stress is actually really good for us. For example, when we're exercising, we're putting our body into a state of stress. And if you can learn to look at stress differently, research has shown that you actually have a better life expectancy, your health is better. So if you can look at stress being a positive rather than a negative, just the shift in thinking can have a huge impact on your health. So it really comes down to our perspective at that time. this point in time right now, the things I'm dealing with could be stressful and I feel really stressed, anxious, uncomfortable, whatever, but it could 3 years down the track, the same conditions I could look at differently because of my approach and attitude to the stress. Does that make sense? Yeah, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so changing your mindset about something. And it's quite a shift, isn't it? And sometimes a shift can be just as easy as you know, saying, I'm now do this and move into a completely different space.
And it is, it's a perspective. You can see this as an opportunity to learn, or you can see it as, I can't go. Oh. Yeah. So and it is also about having a sense of comfort or trust in your environment and feeling okay about those environments. And that's where the organization relates to the stress. Mm. Time management is obviously a big issue that where people feel stress.
Yes, when they've got deadlines or you know, it's not even just deadlines. It might be just that, you know, people have like to have a clean house and when it gets untidy and exactly. unclean, that brings in that level of stress as well.
It's just about finding the solution. So when I'm working with people, I might make a recommendation for how they get organized and it doesn't work for them. So I go, okay, that methodology doesn't work. Let's try another one. That doesn't work, try another one, because there are so many different ways that people can create a sense of order in their life. For example, my husband and my children are quite different to me in terms of how they like to live in their personal space.
Oh, who's really? So you mean they don't pick up after themselves straight away? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But they like
and that's the husband and the children, isn't it?
Yeah. So they're quite happy living in a state of chaos. Now, you're talking to a person here who likes to create order out of chaos, but they like living in chaos. They enjoy that. So we're never going to come to an ideal solution. So how we work around that is for me to have my own space. I've got what I call the mummy zone, and that's where I'm able to create my sense of order. And I walk into that space as soon as I get home. I have a sense of order around me, and then I can enter the chaos zone.
Oh, that's funny. I used to, when my younger son was about 15, I used to say I'd mount an expedition into his bedroom. You know, it felt like that when you're dealing with somebody else's chaos is a great word. Now, look, we're going to change tack a little bit because I know this is one of your real passions is how do we get on top of our emails?
Yeah. It's something that I've done a lot of research around. So what I discovered, I just scoured the internet, talked to people, read books and learned about different methodologies and applied. And I've tested all of them to see how they work. And what blew me away was what I learned through that process is that we apply old thinking to new technology. So we've come from an environment of working with memos and faxes and paper filing systems, and we apply that methodology and that thinking to emails. Now, I know when I say this, people go, oh, but that's what I do. I used to have hundreds of different folders. So a moment an email came in, I'd make one decision and pick one folder where that belonged because that's what we used to do in a paper system, isn't it?
Mm.
Or we'd make copies.
Sounds sensible to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so sometimes we'd make duplicate copies of the paper, but that then becomes risky in terms of error. What people don't think about is that email is digital technology. So we can look at the one email from different viewpoints using digital technology. We can close a lot of those open loops. And what that means is we reduce the handling time. So applying a different thinking around how we manage the email technology, what I found can save about 2 hours a day. So that's about a week and a month, that's 12 weeks in a year that you actually gain back by applying different thinking.
Wow, 2 hours a day and 12 weeks a year? Oh, it sounds like holiday time. It's amazing.
When I actually implemented this methodology, and at the time I was in a really, really stressful job, I was working for somebody and I applied this methodology and it blew me away because I just sat in front of my inbox and went, I've dealt with everything. Now I've actually got to go and do the work, not process the emails, which I'm used to doing, reading this, signing that, setting that, filing that. I've actually done it all. Now I actually have to go and do the work. And it was a mind-blowing experience for me. So the methodology I have means you only have to look at your emails a total of an hour a day. So half an hour in the morning, 15 minutes in the middle of the day, 15 minutes at the end, everything else is dealt with. And you're just doing the work, really.
Sounds intriguing and sounds something that would be extremely worthwhile. And apps. Now, I'm not an app fan. I just don't know why. I think it's because Apple and I don't talk to each other very well, and now I have an Android phone and it is much easier. But there are apps that really do help, aren't there? They do help get you organized.
Yeah, look, and that's, again, there's lots of different ones. So you can have ones that are really, really sophisticated. And I think, I mean, Evernote is very simple, really, but it's so, there's so many different options that people get confused. It's like getting into a car. Really, it's simple, but there's so many different options and complexities in terms of how to drive it. So when I'm talking to people, I go, okay, that one's probably a bit sophisticated for you. Let's try something a little bit simpler. So it'll still be a management tool or a project management tool. So there's a whole range out there. You can spend hours, if you want to, going and testing them all out. Or you can come and talk to me and I'll go, based on what you've told me, I think this could be a good tool for you. And it's just bit by bit, listening to what some of the challenges people have and going, there's an app for that.
and as we're finding, there's apps for everything, you know. So, yeah, I know I've got to own them soon. I do have fitness and health ones, so I know I do have them.
But it's also, look, the other thing is some people just don't like them. And, again, I teach people the paper technologies and, again, I'm learning new ones as well. And it's interesting how I've discovered one recently, which is applying digital technology back into a paper format. It's hard for me to explain over a microphone how that works, but that was a really interesting technique as well.
So that, you know, the beauty of that, it's sort of covering people from all different.
Yeah.
And I think this is the important part. Whatever methodology we're doing to improve ourselves and to get more organized and is to be able to do something that fits with us, with our personality and our lifestyle and what we want to get out of it as well and how much time and effort we're prepared to learn something new and just take little baby steps and adapt one thing and become proficient with it. And it, as you were saying about, you know, the amount of time that you invested in finding out about ways to save us 2 hours a day on our emails, I mean, we don't have that time ourselves to invest in that. Just I like the idea of you just saying, here, Janine, this is how you do this. Thank you very much, Barbara. I'll go and apply it. That sounds terrific.
Yeah. So it's about that. And that's the thing. There's so much information out there. Knowing where to start is where people tend to stop because they know they need to get organized, but they just don't have the time. And that's the irony of the situation. I need more time, but I don't have the time to invest in researching how to make time or find time or get more organized.
Yeah, that sounds like that movie Catch 22, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely. So, and we just touched on filing and as you were saying, go back to a paper filing. So how do I deal with my filing? I mean, my listeners as well, how do we deal with our filing? Is there some good tips that you can provide us?
I guess it depends on whether you're looking at the paper structure or the digital structure. And ideally, we want them to match. So whatever you're doing in paper, you want to match digitally. And more people are aiming to go paperless. So it's about finding methodology that enables you to find things quickly. The tip that I learned in terms of filing stuff digitally, which I found really, really useful, is labeling things with the year. So in terms of a number, you'd be going 2015, then 0716, for example, just pulling a date out of my head. Mm-hmm. So that is a really simple filing method that people can apply from a digital point of view. And I do a talk as well. I've got a meetup coming up later on, depending on when your podcast comes out, but it'll mm-hmm. be one of the talks that we'll be talking about is categories and tags. So having clarity around how to look at things from more than one point of view. And that's not, so it's not just about the subject matter or the project or the name of the person. It's about the priority. Do you understand what I mean?
So no, if you can give me a bit more explanation.
So for example, in terms of filing something, whether it be in an email or finding it, you might have a, you might file something under the name of the project, or you might file it under urgent, or you might file it under the name of the person. So it's one item that you need to look at from different perspectives. So what I try and teach people is to say how we close those open loops, how we have one way of, lots of different ways at looking at one item.
Mm-hmm.
So I can look at something that's urgent, or I can look at something that is a project, particular project, like marketing, for example. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at something that's urgent, or I'm going to look at marketing. Mm-hmm. And there's ways that you can do that, believe it or not, in a digital environment. That's really, really easy. Or there's ways that you can do that from a paper environment as well. And that's what I try and teach people, depending on how they like to work within their filing. The most important thing is that somebody else can find it.
Mm,
particularly okay. when you're delegating and, yep. and for that to make sense.
Yeah, okay. No, that sounds really interesting because it's sort of challenging the way we would think about doing things normally, which obviously we need to do if we want to get more efficient.
And that's right. And also if I'm looking for something in your filing cabinet, I have to think like you. So the challenge is to go, how would everybody think about this?
Mm. Oh, that could be very interesting.
I love it when I find files in filing cabinets or on the computer that say miscellaneous. That's where everything goes.
I know I do some work with another company and we have products and we've got about 10,000 lines in our SKUs, so there's quite a lot, and now we've got probably about 25 different categories, and they have been categorized out a lot better. So there might be blood pressure equipment, or but everything used to go under miscellaneous. Anything that wasn't a Band-Aid basically went under miscellaneous. So we've got, 5,000 of those items have a miscellaneous code, but we've now in the subcode, we've coded them into their proper categories. Yeah. But yeah, it was difficult to find.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, miscellaneous, general, other.
Yeah.
You don't like those words.
No, I don't like those words either. So that's great because that's how you prioritize things then, isn't it? By knowing what is urgent.
Yeah, that's right. That's the challenge, is to be able to, for all of us, is to focus on, make sure that things aren't urgent. There's always a methodology to get things rolling and moving along in a timely manner, but to know what to do first. What do I need to do first? And so I teach lots of different methodology around getting clarity around that, from email to project planning. So there's a whole range of methodology around prioritization.
And we did touch on this a little bit as well, because it's not just you. For a lot of people, it's their organizing their team and their employees as well. So, and we did touch on this, is that we're all not the same. And how do we get other people organized?
I think what's really important about that, and it sounds really boring, but it's about the procedures and it's about policy. And the key thing about that I learned about that and systemizing what we do is a policy is the why. And too often we forget that. You started out this conversation. Why? Why do you do what you do? Why are we here? And we end up getting caught into habits of process and forgetting what the end result actually is. And as things evolve and as systems evolve, we get off track. So the policy is the why, and the procedure is how we get there. And depending on the size of a business, depends on how you make those decisions around doing things. But it's really about systemizing what you do and the process that you do. So if I'm going to delegate to somebody, even if it's the smallest task, this is why I'm getting you to do it. This is how I would like you to do it. So that person can then go, I understand what you want me to do, but I actually think there's a better way to do it. And I say, bravo. That's how my business is going to evolve. And that's the foundation of what every business should have and how they systemize. And it comes down to how you communicate with your team, with the people above you, below you, and your clients. All of that is a flow of information.
And that certainly makes an awful lot of sense, but I'm just thinking, so we can't just do it the way we've always done it?
And that's a telltale sign again of when they're one of the flags that I was talking about before. When someone says, but this is the way we've always done it, that's a sign that you've got a team that's unproductive. Or if there's a person that normally takes over and takes control, then again, that's a sign, a flag that you've got a lack of productivity within a team.
And look, just a little side note, as you're aware, I'm part of a not-for-profit organisation that coaches in public speaking called Power Talk, and it's been around since the 1920s. And interestingly, at the recent convention, this sort of story came up, you know, a lot, this comment, but that's not how we've done it. And we've got, in Australia, we've got a lot in the organisation, a lot of free thinking and newer members who are in business and stepping it out of the box a little bit. And it is challenging to people who've always done things in a particular way to adjust and accept that if the ship's sinking, then just moving the deck chairs is not actually going to save it. You need to, you know, change the way that you deal with the hole in the hull, you know, type of thing.
And again, if we're using the ship analogy, where are you heading? Where does the ship want to go, and why are you going there? Because that's what it all stems from. Why does Power Talk exist? You know, what is the end game? And it's always going to how you do it is always going to change and evolve because of productivity and technology, culture, you know, the standards that we live by. If you had a Power Talk 150 years ago, of course it's going to be different to what it is now, but the why is probably going to be very similar. It's just how you do it that's going to be different.
That's a good point. I will actually use that in a future argument. Thank you for that, Barbara. And I'm sure that everyone listening can adapt that somewhere in their lives as well. So how do you get organized for your business growth? You're talking about that ship moving forward.
For me personally, or how does the individual get
organized? Us, everyone listening, how does the individual get organized?
Well, again, it comes down to finding simple systems and to be able to step out of the driver's seat. And that's the key, is the simplicity. So if it's too complicated, that's when we're going to put off doing it. The simpler it is, the more likely we are to create some habits around that. So for us to be able to get organized in business, we need the clarity about where we're going, why we're going there, and the processes. And it sounds boring, but once you have clarity, it does become easier. If you're living in a state of chaos and stress and disorganization, unfortunately, you're going to have to do some work to change the way things are, and that comes down to that system and that process. David Allen is a guru around simplifying the system of how we get organized, and that philosophy that he talks about can be applied across big organizations or little individuals in terms of how you get clarity and focus on the work that you have. So it's just about creating the simplest system you can.
And again, sounds simple and just a matter of application. So three takeaways from, you know, we've discussed a lot of information. There's been so much valuable stuff here that people hopefully will be able to apply. But if if we're going to take away just three things that would be the most crucial about getting organized, what would they be?
As we talked about this before, and I think, as you said, email is something that I'm passionate about, and that's certainly where people can get the most clarity and time back in their day. So getting on top of that, I would say being mindful. So being able to be observant in the space that you're in. And again, coming down to that system and process, it all stems back to that, is having a roadmap for how you're going to work your day. So those are the three elements that we all need to focus on, no matter who we are, Email just does take over our life, and that's why it takes it's a big part of what I talk about with people.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Thank you very much, Barbara. So tell me about what you offer in your business, and if people want to find you, then how can they find you?
Okay, so my web address is www.timetamer.com.au, and I offer people some workshop training, some training and development, so people can do a day of learning some of those principles that we've talked about today. And then following on from that, I'm actually able to handhold people through in another day's workshop, doing some more advanced training if they want it. So taking you personally step by step through setting up your email or teaching you how to use Evernote. And I do standalone training for Evernote. Or I can work with individuals one-on-one within their own environment or do workplace training. But if people do want just to start out, then they can have access to a free productivity and time management audit, which I've talked to you about.
Oh, that's very valuable. Yes.
Yeah, so that means that people can actually do a little bit of a test themselves to see where those flags are that I talked about. Just by answering a series of questions, they'll be able to identify key areas that they need to work on. Now, you can either do what we've talked about, try and slog it out yourself. You go, okay, I need work in this area. I'm going to try and solve that, which is time consuming. You can go and find an expert in whatever area you're talking about. Or, of course, you can come to me. And again, I'm going to give you recommendations and solutions based on my knowledge. And you can get those solutions from me if you want to, or you can work on it yourself. But that's what the audit will do.
Yeah, and that sounds, you know, for me, what I'm hearing too that is particular of interest to me is that there's that hand-holding, because we all have our expertise in our own industries, but when it comes to something new like this, if we want to really be able to grasp something and make sure that we don't just learn it and then not apply it, that whole process of hand-holding is, to me, is crucial.
Well, part of what I offer is that accountability. So even if you do that first day of training, there's going to be an accountability after that. How are you going? How are you tracking? How are you finding what's working, what's not working for you? So I'm going to check on you anyway. What I found is that I was jam-packing a lot of information into one day for people and then sending them off going, here that you are, here's the instructions, off you go. Because I'm passionate about it, it's easy for me and I forget that. So even though I was giving people a manual, they're going, oh, can you just come and help me set it up? So that's why I introduced less heavy-going training for people and then the hand-holding late further down the track if you really need some help to be able to step through it. So it's step by step in that process.
Look, terrific information. I really do appreciate you joining in with me on this podcast, Barbara, because there's just been it's so valuable to my subscribers and to my clients. So thank you very much. So that's Barbara Clifford from Time Tamer, and it's timetamer.com.au.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.